We present Tony Hancock, Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes, and Kenneth Williams in...
Hancock's Half Hour. Now, come on, William. Now, try it once more.
No, Tub, it's no good. I can't do it.
Of course you can do it. It's just a question of practice. Now, come on. One more try. Go.
The cat sat on the mat.
See, you can do it. You can do it when you try. Now read it without the pictures.
Oh, no, Tub, I don't think I can do that. I've got to have something to go by.
All right, well, I'll explain the words to you and you memorise them. Now, cat is spelt C-A-T. And that's the cat there. And that's the mat, M-A-T. And that is the cat sitting on the mat.
Sitting? You said it was the cat sat on the mat.
Yes, well, you see... sitting is the present participle of the verb to sit, of which sat is the past participle.
Are you coming down to the cafe for a cup of tea?
No, I am not. You've got another 2 hours' work to do before playtime.
Oh, Tub, I don't want to do any more lessons. What do I need them for? I use bigger words than cat and mat all day long.
I know you use them, but you don't know what they look like in print. If I wrote them down on paper, you'd be completely mystified. If you're going to learn how to read and write, you've got to start right at the very beginning. There is no shortcut to literacy. Got to go about it as if you're a child of three going to school for the first time.
Where's that?
Where's what?
Literacy.
What are you talking about?
You said there was no shortcut to it.
That's right.
Well, how did you get there then?
William, literacy is not a place.
What is it then?
It's a state of being.
Being what?
Being literate.
Oh. My dog had two literates once. There were seven and eight.
Your dog did not have literates. Your dog had litters. L-I-T-E-R-S. It's an entirely different word. Literate means being educated, like what I am, as opposed to unliterate, like what you are.
Hey, can we have playtime now?
No, William.
Good morning, class. Milk time. Here's your bottle of milk and your straw.
Miss Pugh, there is no need to take the mickey out of William. It's not his fault he never went to school.
No, we never had any schools out in the bush. Me dad had to teach me everything.
Well, how is it you didn't learn?
He didn't know anything. He was worse than I am.
Oh, no, he couldn't have been.
Well, he was. He had a cattle station in South Australia. He knew every cattle on that farm by name.
How many were there?
Four. He knew he had four because he had an accountant come down from Sydney every month to count them.
Now, there you are. You see what the poor lad's been up against. No schooling, an idiot father. Now he's got a chance to make good. I'm going to do all I can to help him.
A chance to make good, you say?
Yes. He's been after a job in the local bank.
What as?
Cashier, of course.
Oh, well, if he gets it, I'm taking my money out. Cashier? Ridiculous.
It is not ridiculous. He'll be all right when I've finished educating him. He's done very well in his short time. Go on, Bill. Show her how you count up to 10.
1, 4, 2, 9, 7, 3, 6, 8, 5, 10.
There you are. They're all there. Just got to get them in the right order. He'll be manager in no time. What's the time?
11 o'clock.
Right. Play time. 10 minutes break. Back at 10 past for some.
Jolly closing weather. And a harvest breeze. Day of the better.
Morning, Kerr.
Morning, Tub.
What did I tell you about that?
Oh, sorry. Good morning, sir.
That's better. We must keep this on a pupil-master relationship if we're going to get anywhere.
I bought you an apple for you.
You taking the mickey? Oh. Oh, well, thank you very much. I'll have it with me milk. Let's have a look at your homework. It was an essay, wasn't it?
Yeah, where I went for my holidays last year.
Yes, that's it. Where I went for my holidays last year by William Kerr. Brighton. there is?
Yeah.
It's not very long, is it?
Well, I was only there 2 days.
Oh, couldn't you have used a bit of imagination? Brighton? Brighton? How can I judge how good it is on that? Didn't you go anywhere?
No, it rained all the time.
Well, what about your hotel? You must have got up to something there.
Oh, yeah, I did. Well...
Yeah, well, that's it then. Put it down. No, perhaps not. Miss Pugh might pick it up.
Hey, how many marks are you going to give me for it?
I am not giving you any marks for that.
Oh.
All right. 1 out of 10 because you kept the page clean. What else have you done?
Spelling.
Oh, yes, your spelling is atrocious. Let's see what you've done. Well, there's a good start. Spelling. S-P-E-L-I-N-G. Oh, that one's right. That's right. Oh, no, William. There's only 1 K in cyclist. Write that out 100 times. Did you do the lines I gave you yesterday?
Yeah.
Show me. William, when I give you 100 lines, I don't expect 100 lines to be drawn with a pencil and a ruler. I want something on them. Go and stand in the corner.
There's a gentleman here to see you.
I'm sorry, I can't see anybody during class.
Well, he says it's about something that will be to your advantage as a teacher.
Well, in that case, it is my duty to see him. Who is he?
Well, he asked me not to give you his name, otherwise you wouldn't see him.
Show him in.
This way.
Hello, Hancock. Pay attention, class. We shall now most likely have a lesson on the loopholes in the income tax laws.
I won't take up too much of your valuable time, Professor. I'm here on business that will appeal to you. I hear you've gone into the teaching profession.
Well, I am giving one of our more unfortunate layabout friends the benefits of my own classical education, yes.
Oh, yes, a very noble profession, teaching. Plato, Homer, Euripides, all them other great Chinese philosophers.
Ah, yes, great men. Gents, every one of them.
Yep. Well, I feel proud that in my own humble way, I too can help the fruits of knowledge grow in the orchard of ignorance.
Nicely put.
I represent the Sydney James Educational Supply Company. Maps, books, pencils, chalks, blackboards, and the greatest inducement to learning ever invented. The Super Spring steel-tipped, 3-ply, weighted handle cane, complete with special Sid James labour-saving attachment, allowing the master to inflict the greatest amount of pain over the largest possible area with a minimum pound of effort. All at competitive prices, I have purchase terms arranged.
I think you got it wrong, Sid. I'm not running a school. I'm just teaching privately.
Yes, maybe now you are, but your reputation is spreading, son. You're the talk of the Andon racket since they've seen what you've done for Bill. He goes in there now, he adds up his own dart score. He's also found out that there's more than 16 bob in a pound. Which has given a landlord the dead needle who was making a fortune out of him. They're so impressed, well, I want to tell you, there's been some talk about some of them sending their kids to you for teaching. They're openly referring to you as another Svengali.
Oh, no, never. It's nothing like that. It's just a... I suppose they have got rather compelling eyes. Yeah. They burn into people, you know. Now I think of it, quite a lot of girls shudder when I look at them. It's me eyes. It makes them shiver with a desire. They have to turn the head away. They can't look at me.
Yeah, I noticed it. Yeah.
I have to wear dark glasses at the palais in case they go berserk. Oh, old Rasputin had the same trouble. His eyes, you know. We're exactly the same. Different haircuts, that's all. I think I get it from his Spanish grandmother, you know. Eyes like paperweights, she had. You know, the ones that snow when you tip them upside down. Remarkable woman, Carmen Hancock, her name was. She worked in a marmalade factory in Seville. Yes. They still talk about her eyes in Spain. She stopped a bull dead at 20 yards.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry, I was digressing. Where were we?
I was telling you how they're referring to you as the professor at 23 Railway Cuttings. They've got more confidence in you than the schools round here. You've become a legend. The wise old sage of East Cheam. Why were you, I'd cash in on this.
How?
Turn this place into a private school. Professor Hancock's private academy for young gentlemen. Naturally, the school will be fee-paying, and I should say, 200 nicker a term. I'll take care of that side of it. We can't have the headmaster bothering with such a sordid subject as money.
Look, Sid, I don't think so. I couldn't control a bunch of kids. You know, kids and dogs don't take to me.
These kids won't play you up, boy. Not with the Sydney James special cane attachment. I've got a telescopic one as well. You can reach the back of the class without leaving your desk. Leave it to me, boy. We'll advertise a new school and I'll get the word passed around town saying that you are a great man of letters, all right? You'll have a school full of spotty-faced Herberts in no time.
Where can I get a school from?
This place will do for an outlay build-up. 7 to 10's in the dining room. 11s to 14's in the lounge. 14s to 16's in the kitchen. Over 16's in the bathroom.
Now, Sid, I haven't got any facilities here.
And that is where the Sydney James Educational Supply Company comes in. Sign this.
Well, what is it?
Just sign it.
I never sign anything without reading.
There's nothing on it yet. I'll write it in later. Now, you know you can trust me. Come on, come on. There's no time to lose.
Oh, all right. There.
Good boy. You're now the proud owner of 60 desks, 4 blackboards, 3 tons of coloured chalk, 6 war office surplus maps, and 300 weight of assorted books. Now then, teachers.
Well, there's only me.
That's not enough. We got 60 kids to teach. Give Bill another couple of weeks, we'll make him assistant headmaster in charge of French. French, Latin, advanced physics and maths.
What does he know about any of that lot? He thinks maths is what tramps get drunk on.
He'll know more than the kids.
I wouldn't bet on that. He knows how to hog-tie a kangaroo, make a boomerang do a circle, and that is his lot.
Oh, we get away with it, boy, as long as the parents don't come and inspect the place. Griselda can be matron and gym mistress.
Gymnastics? What a farce for a start. Can't touch her knees, let alone her toes.
All right, she can yell out to him. She doesn't have to do it. And I will complete the staff.
Oh, this is going to be interesting, yes. And what subject will you be teaching?
Citizenship.
Oh. Yes, of course, yes, yes. You're a model of that. Well, you've had it taken away from you 3 times.
You know, boy, I think this is going to be a nice little number. If it don't work out, we can always move to another district, start again. Aren't you thrilled about it? Just think, in your bathroom, you may be teaching future members of the government.
Well, if I can sort out which ones they are, I shall turn the tap on and hold their heads under.
Yeah, well, we've got to have a motto. All good schools have got a Latin motto.
Hey, Tub, can I come out of the corner now? I've done me 100 lines.
You buffoon! Buffoon! I didn't mean on the wallpaper. Look, right in between me bunches of grapes. All right, what have you written?
The only sentence I know. The cat sat on the mat.
Wait a minute. That's it. It's symbolic.
What is?
That's our motto. Symbolic of learning from the beginning. The phrase taught to our first pupil. Catus satus matus.
Exciting, Mr. Hancock. First day of school, the beginning of our first term.
Miss Pewitt, might be as well to remember my name is now Professor Hancock, B.A., B.S.C., M.A., Cantab.
What does Cantab mean?
It's short for Cambridge.
Oh, I can put that after my name.
I think Oxon would be better for you.
Ah, morning, Tub.
Tub?
Professor Hancock.
Everybody ready to start battle?
Oh, stone me. What are you wearing?
A mortarboard and gown. What does it look like? I had it specially tailored.
Yes, but light blue sharkskin worsted with a tartan lining. It's not right. It's not dignified.
I see no reason why a master shouldn't look sharp. Molly made me this, the best in Charing Cross Road.
Look at the mortarboard. It shouldn't have a snap brim and curled up edges.
Oh, shut up. I'm known all over Soho as a snappy dresser, and I'm not going to spoil my reputation for you.
Don't you think we ought to get into the classrooms?
Can't wait to get started, can she? It's a mistake giving her the 18-year-olds.
She's right, boy. It's 9 o'clock. They're all in.
How many pupils have turned up?
We've got 10 in each class. At 200 a term, that's 8,000 ick of this term already.
I don't think your entrance is in quite the right spirit, Professor James. Instead of seeing in front of you 10 eager, aspiring young hopefuls keen to quench their thirst at your fountain of knowledge, you're going to see 200 knicker piled on each chair.
Don't you think we ought to get into the classroom?
Oh, wait. Contain yourself, madam. What class are you taking first, Dr. Kerr?
Trigger... Trogger...
Trig. Nom.
Nom.
Tree. Trigonometry.
Trogonometry.
Oh, look, take geography, look. Tell them where Australia is.
Where is it?
You were born there, mate, you ought to know.
I only know where it is when I'm there. I know on the map it's down on the bottom on the right-hand side.
I told you, Sid. What's going to happen when they go home and the fathers say, well, what did you learn today? And they say, Australia is in the bottom right-hand corner. You'll have the school inspector round here in no time. Dr. Kerr, I think you'd better tell them you've got laryngitis and tell them to talk amongst themselves. Right, classes, everyone, and remember, we are dedicated people. The responsibility of the future happiness and welfare of these children is in our hands. Go. Now, the history of England goes right back into history. First name one can recall is Nell Gwyn, who jumped into her chariot one day and called upon her fellow Britons, of whom she was queen, "Arise, ye Britons, from your slumbers, and let us ride to Londonagan." Which, of course, was the Itai name for London at that time. And furthermore, said Nell Gwyn, "Let us overthrow these Roman hordes."
It was Boadicea.
Pardon?
It was Boadicea.
Oh, yes, yes. "Let us overthrow these Boadicean hordes." Well, nothing much happened for the next few hundred years, of course, until the next name that springs to mind, William the Conqueror, a Norman.
Make up your mind, was he William or Norman?
Well, he was William, yes. Yes, William. Norman was the place he came from. Norman being a shortened derivation of the word Northman, meaning one who comes from Norway.
He came from France.
Yes. Obviously, we're not talking about the same William the Conqueror. I'm talking about the one who invaded England.
So am I. He came from France.
Well, there were a lot of intermarriages. His father was a Norwegian, and even though William lived in France, he was, I submit, technically Norwegian. A fact not generally put in the history books for political reasons, but I assure you I'm right. Yes. Anyway, we beat him at Agincourt.
He beat us at Hastings.
Yes, well, that's one all then. Anyway, his old man, his father, his pot and pan, the Prince of Oslo.
The Duke of Normandy.
Yes. Or you.
Yes.
You're expelled. Here's your 200 quid back. Hop it. Scripture. King Herod the Lionheart was, of course, Nero's brother-in-law. They did a little arrangement, of course, by the...
Now, listen carefully. The cat sat on the mat.
Oi!
And what do you want, little man?
We did that yesterday and the day before.
Yeah, and we're going to do it tomorrow and the day after that, so sit down, you rat bag. Once more, the cat sat on the mat.
The dough until it is resilient, then you'll roll it out with the pin, then place the fruit in like so, pop it into the oven, and in 4 hours' time we have a beautiful steaming hot cabinet pudding. I'll tell you all what it tasted like tomorrow. And don't forget, I want you all to bring along tomorrow fruit, meat, treacle, and jam. And we can make lots and lots of lovely puddings, which I can try out over the weekend. And now, shepherd's pie. Take 10 pounds of mince.
And now, boys, we come to advanced mathematics. Now, you put 2 bob on a 10-1 winner. Coupled up with a 7-4 second, which is part of a cross double with a 100-8 third for a place. Now then, how much is going on to what horse, and how much will you finally get when you go up to the window? Now hurry up and work it out, because unless I get it by 3 o'clock, I've had it. Now then, I think we'll have a telly on, because they're doing the old meeting at Newmarket. Give you a chance to study animal life. And shut up, no talking, do it in the racing.
I think we've made a good start, don't you, Sid?
Yeah, we're all right now. No complaints from the parents. I think the boys must be passing on the winners, I'm tipping.
Hey, do you think I could change me lesson round a bit and said, the dog sat on the mat?
Of course you can.
Oh, good, only classes have been getting a bit boring lately.
Excuse me, Professor Hancock, there's a gentleman to see you.
Show him in, Biggs. Another parent wants his son here, I suppose. We'll have to start another class out in the air raid shelter at this rate. I feel rather proud I'm helping these children. They respect me, you know. You should have seen my class today. How they sat there agog while I was telling them about Isaac Newton chopping down his father's cherry tree and becoming the first president of South America.
Good morning. The door was open, so I came in.
£300 a term, take it or leave it.
£300 a term is rather a lot, isn't it?
You've got to pay for quality, mate. Have a sardine.
No, thank you. You stand for quality.
Yes, a complete higher education the lads here get.
Like the story of Isaac Newton chopping down his father's cherry tree.
Yes, we teach them all that, yes. And about Robert Louis Stevenson.
What did he do?
Oh, surely you know. Surely. Hmm? Well, I have to imagine he thought so. Good deal. Yes, Robert Louis Stevenson, yes. He was sitting under a tree waiting for the kettle to boil when an apple fell on his head and he invented the spinning wheel.
How interesting.
Yes, he's a great man. A fascinating brain he had.
Yes, yours is quite interesting as well. I'm from the Minister of Education.
Oh, is he interested in the place?
Oh, very. We've had lots of reports coming in.
Oh, he's thinking about sending his lad here. Well, you can tell him we'll knock a pony off the fee if he'll pass the word round amongst the old cabinet.
I see. These are the members of your staff, I presume.
Yes, yes, this is Professor James.
How do you do?
Where did you obtain your professorship, Mr. James?
Eh? Oh,
Think carefully, because I can easily check it if you get my meaning.
Oh, well, in that case, I've got nothing to do with the place. I'm the caretaker.
Very wise. And who is this?
This is Dr. Kerr, is my English master.
Hiya, sport. Drag some wood under you and squat.
Yes, I believe I've seen Mr. Kerr's classroom. It's the one upstairs with the pupils sitting in the bath, is it not?
It's a temporary affair till we extend the premises, you understand.
I'm afraid it'll be more temporary than you anticipated. The police will be here this afternoon to board up the premises and to escort you to the police station where you will be charged with fraud.
Fraud? Hmm. I've never frauded in my life. This is a bona fide seat of learning. I've dedicated my career to teaching the children of gentlemen.
You offer facilities you obviously haven't got, and you offer education you obviously cannot give.
It was done in good faith, I assure you.
And the £8,000 you collected in fees?
If anyone is dissatisfied, we shall return it. It's all in the bank.
£24.10 of it is.
24. Professor James, can you explain why the money...
Nothing to do with me, mate. I'm the caretaker.
You are not. You are not. You are an up-to-the-neck-in-it partner.
Oh, no, son. If you read the minutes, you'll find I resigned.
What minutes?
I just finished writing them. I think you'll find you own the old school, and you are responsible for any charges or civil actions resulting in the running of the same. They can't touch me, can they?
I'm afraid not.
And furthermore, as caretaker, you have to give me 4 weeks' notice, 6 knicker a week, so I'll take the 24 knicker left in the bank and we call it quits. Well, tell our gents. Nice to have done business with you. I'll be in Bermuda if you need me to give evidence.
Miss Pugh, you can testify as to my complete innocence in this. Tell him how I was hoodwinked by the fast-talking Sidney James. Who she has just run off with. Dr. Kerr, you can tell this gentleman that my intentions in running this school were governed solely by a sincere desire to do good and help educate the children of this noble land of ours. And how all this sprung from my success with your good self. Show him what standard you reached after only a few months of my expert tuition.
The cat sat on the mat. The dog sat on the mat. The mouse sat on the mat. Woof, meow, squeak.
Yes.
Well?
I understand some of the prisoners are quite keen on being educated. Perhaps if you had a few words with the governor, you'd let me hold classes in my cell. I think a lot of good would come of it, because I'm sure they must get rather bored, and I think that's... I'm just the man to say... Put it right. I'm the last. What? First. You know.
That was Hancock's Half Hour, starring Tony Hancock with Sidney James, Bill Kerr, Hattie Jakes and Kenneth Williams. Theme and incidental music composed and conducted by Wally Stott. The show written by Alan Simpson and Ray Galton. The program, which was recorded, was produced by Tom Ronald.